The new age is about drastic changes in the way society thinks. And keep in mind, it's been going on for 50 years now. It was called breaking away from the establishment. It was about harmony and understanding one another. It's supposedly about sympathizing with each other and trusting each other. It's supposedly about a world without falsehood, a world with golden living dreams of visions, mystic crystal revelation. I can almost see a herd of wild unicorns running across the rainbow horizon. Well, yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. Okay, it sounds ridiculous to me. But society has bought into this idea of a utopian fantasy world, which is based in astrology and divination, which things God forbids. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. Amen. Do you see that this line of thinking draws a parallel with the idea of a kingdom of God that has come but is yet to come in a future time? Do you see that this parallels the idea of a coming kingdom of God? It's a counterfeit. It has nothing to do with God or Jesus. But there's this utopian world. If we can ever get things changed enough, this utopian world will happen. Now, accountability to a holy God is part of traditional thinking that it desires to liberate our minds from. According to New Age thought, this utopian world is coming whether we believe in God or not. Has nothing to do with God. It's the age. It's the astrological age. The heavens. What's going on in the stars. And it has to do with the position of the planets. Now, I'm not saying these things because I believe we as Christians are following these things. But our society has bought into the New Age philosophy and thought. Whether we realize it or not. We can see it very plainly when we start looking at some of the things that are going on. And we're going to look at some more of them in a minute. We need to understand that what's standing between us and them, the people who believe this, as we're trying to reach unsaved people for the kingdom. Theology is viewed through the philosophy of the society. And see, if you look at a lot of New Age thoughts, they believe in a Christ, but he's a Christ spirit who's been around from the beginning of time, and all the great sages of the different religions were in touch with him. Anyway, so they use a lot of terminology like Christians, but they're talking about something totally different. Now we're going to talk about the song Imagine. Remember that one, John Lennon, 1971? I want to talk about that because it embodies New Age thought. The guy who sang Strawberry Fields wrote a song in 1971. At the peak of the social revolution of the 60s, and I think the song captures a lot of the essence of New Age thought and philosophy. Now, I looked it up in Wikipedia, the great source, undeniable source of truth. Wikipedia says, it was the best-selling song of John Lennon's solo career. Its lyrics encouraged the listener to imagine a world at peace without the barriers of borders or the divisions of religion or nationality, and to consider the possibility that the focus of humanity should be living a life unattached to material possessions. I have already about 3 or 4 alarms going off just by reading their definition of it. Whoop, whoop, whoop. We haven't even looked at the song yet. Let's look at that. Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Wouldn't that be wonderful? See, imagine no heaven or hell. Why don't we just throw away these archaic ideas of heaven and hell? I mean, is that really helping us? Just imagine that there wasn't that, you know? How great it would be if we'd throw those away. If there's no heaven or hell, we don't have to strive to please a holy God who dislikes sin. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for. No religion, too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. How wonderful it would be. Imagine no countries. Eliminating borders would evidently eliminate wars. Did you know that open borders is a New Age concept? Shakara Masanta. See, this stuff's going on. I didn't know it was New Age. That's a New Age concept. See, if we destroy all the borders, there'll only be one world with all of us with brothers and sisters. There won't be any need for war anymore. No conflict. No wars. See, this does not make rational sense. It doesn't make intellectual sense. But if you've drunk the Kool-Aid and you believe it in your spirit, you believe something that is not rational, then you'll live your life trying to make that stuff happen. So open borders is a New Age concept. I didn't know that. I had to plead ignorance on that. And if it wasn't for religion, we could at last have peace on earth. Here's the next part. Imagine no possessions. I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger. A brotherhood of man. Imagine all the people sharing all the world. In other words, if we just do away with individual possessions, I mean, that'll fix it. That'll fix it right there. There'll be no need for greed or hunger, just a brotherhood of man. Imagine all the people sharing all the world. In other words, instead of hoarding it up, you're going to share. What a utopia we would have if we simply did away with individual possessions and everyone just shared. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Do you see that the current push for socialistic society stems from New Age thought? I didn't know that. I plead ignorance again. You know, in the primaries, you know, Bernie Sanders had a very strong following among the younger generation because they've been fed this Kool-Aid since the time they were little bitty. And that came from these doctrines of devils. That if you do away with possessions, it'll solve so many problems in the world. And communism and socialism have been trying that for decades and generations. And it failed 3 or 4 times with it. It never worked. You eventually run out of people to take money away from. Sounds great in theory. Okay. So socialism looks really good to a lot of the young people in our nation. And then the song goes on to say, "You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will be as one." In other words, once you all join us and think this way, then the world will finally have the possibility of living as one. We won't be divided anymore. Utopia will have arrived once all these things take place. And why am I talking about a 1971 song? Because it embodies much of the New Age thought that developed in the 60s. And much of it is still alive in societal thinking. It's actually grown from those days. You know, the 60s happened. They came and went, you know. But what happened in the 60s didn't stay in the 60s. There was all sorts of new stuff that was planted into society that's been just evolving since then. Oh, okay. I'm getting to that, brother. I'm getting to it. The idea of a utopian world, a paradise we can get to by discarding our traditional thinking. About what? About heaven and hell? Throw that away. The idea of having national borders? Throw that away. We don't want those. We want everybody to just be one world. The whole idea of a one world government. The idea of having religion, let's throw that away. You know, religion is just a problem. It's standing, actually religion, especially Christianity, is standing in the way of New Age thought. Because Christianity, although Christianity in itself is evolving in what the Lord's doing, yet it's one of the things that stands against this kind of thought. Let's abandon the idea of having personal possessions. Is it merely coincidental that the ones who drank the Kool-Aid back in the 60s are now in political power over the nations? You didn't think you had anything to do with New Age, right? How did that doesn't affect me. These thoughts and ideas have been fed into our educational system for 40 or 50 years now. And they have become and are becoming the underlying philosophies of the society. So that's what we're looking at out there in our society. What philosophy does it view theology through? Can you see that these things are in opposition to Christianity? That's not a problem as long as it's a small thing. But what if it's the major thing of the earth? Yeah, something's going to rule. Something's going to try to rule. And if this thing is the dominant thinking of the world, then Christianity may just be pushed out. Well, I'm saying that's what it would like to do. Christianity is what resists this kind of thinking. It stands in the way. Now, you know, in the 50s and the 60s, Billy Graham would get up on TV and preach the Bible. And he'd say, God says this in his holy word. And people would stand to attention. But, you know, now, it's like, well, I don't know. You know, that's kind of antiquated stuff. That antiquated book, I don't know about that. You know, I was back in the 60s, or not 60s, but the 80s, I worked at Bassett Printing. And there was a guy, a college graduate, young guy. And I was talking to him about some stuff from the Bible, trying to share a point about something. And I thought I was really doing a pretty good job. I was getting my point across. My hermeneutics were correct. My exegesis was correct. Whatever all that means. But anyway. But he said, I understand what you're saying, but you need to quote an irrefutable source before I can believe that. I said, what? That threw me off. An irrefutable source? That's the Bible. Oh, yeah, well, I don't accept that as a solid source, an authentic source. You have to do that. I may have quoted Darwin, and he'd have probably took it, but because to him, Darwin is probably an irrefutable source because he did a scientific study. Actually, most of his stuff is just theory, just something he dreamed up. You can't prove any of it. But he came up with that view about the Big Bang and all that stuff. This makes it clear to me why we as the church need to begin to minister the gospel with signs and wonders and miracles. Praise God. Men have attempted to replace the Word of God in the thoughts and philosophies of society. But you cannot deny the authority and authenticity of the Word when it's followed by demonstration of power and the Holy Ghost. Praise God. That will get people's attention. The body of Christ has been crippled for way too long. Did you know the body of Christ has been crippled? It really can date back to the 1500s when they came in with the idea of the Lutherans and all of this thing that wanted to discredit miracles for today. Gifts and miracles were discredited. And so what we were left with was a gospel that merely preaches forgiveness of sins. But Paul preached the gospel with demonstration of power in the Holy Ghost. And that's the way it was intended to be preached, with demonstration of heavenly power. And you know, a lot of people in the Bible, I'm getting off my notes here, but the Bible believe because of the miracles. You know, it said that when he turned the water into wine, it says this beginning of miracles did Jesus, and his disciples believed on him. Why did they believe? Because they saw this guy turn water into wine. Yeah, I believe it must be the real thing. You know, you got to demonstrate something to people. They got all these thoughts and ideas out there to choose from. I don't know. I'll take that one. You know, let me show you something here. You seen this before? Boom. No, I never saw that before. Praise God. You know, you say you got a bad sickness problem. Boom, you're healed. Whoa, what happened to me? Todd White talks about, he went out and prayed for somebody. He touched him. He said, can I pray for you? I feel like the Lord wants to heal your whatever shoulder or whatever. And he touched him. He said, whoa, what the heck did you do to me? I didn't do anything. Jesus healed you. You know, so that's what we need to do. That's where the church is turning in this hour. And crippled. So we've been preaching half a gospel for at least 500 years. But actually, it goes back farther than that, even back to 200 or 300 A.D. Anyway, I'm going to do this one more thing and close this message. And just I think I've given you some things to think about and recognize. The New Age movement, in its philosophy and underlying beliefs, is a counterfeit of the kingdom of God. We as Christians must recognize New Age thought and refuse to buy into it. We have the genuine alternative to that false and counterfeit system. Christianity, the preaching of the kingdom with power. Jesus said that in the last days, kingdom would rise against kingdom. The world is currently being bombarded by a false system of philosophy and theology. As the church, we need to stand for truth and not drink the Kool-Aid. New Age thought is the strong delusion that the Bible talks about. You know, in Matthew 24:24, it says, Jesus said, "For there shall arise false Christ," Matthew 24:24, "false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." They shall show great signs and wonders. You know, if you look in the Bible, whenever the mention of signs and wonders comes up, in the vast majority, and miracles, the vast majority of it is referring to healings. Signs, wonders, and miracles, 90% of the time refers to healings. And the New Agers are healing people. 2 Timothy 3:13, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." So the church must become the church of power that it once was. People in the world already believe in the supernatural. We need to stop arguing over that in the church. Amen. People already believe in it. Are we going to win them with our lack of it? I don't think so. The New Age movement, there is already belief in society about the coming utopian world, a perfect world. But it's not the kingdom of God that we believe in. The New Age thought already permeates the highest levels of education. You know, you never see a conservative going to a college to speak at the graduation, because they're traditional. Conservative means traditional thinking. And so the colleges have been taken over by New Age thought, philosophy, and are taught in the highest levels of education. Christianity is pushed out. Most colleges will not invite a conservative. Even in the high leadership positions over nations now have the vision for a New Age world and a new world order, so to speak. These leaders grew up in the 60s and 70s. They drank the Kool-Aid. And they didn't recover from it. I drank the Kool-Aid in the 60s too. But I got saved in 1979. I came to know reality in 1979. I got delivered from it. I forget that a lot of those people who were in that did not get delivered from it. I know one guy still got the long hair down to here and a beard down to here. And he still thinks we're in the 60s, but... So how do we as Christians counter it? We must fight fire with fire. Oh, I was doing a study on angels. Praise God. He gives makes his angel spirits, his ministers a flame of fire. Glory to God. There's a lot of references to angels and fire. Anyway, so we must fight it with spiritual weapons. We must become the church the Bible talks about that turned the world upside down. Or in this case, we need to turn it right side up. It will have to be defeated through demonstration of power, as in the early church. It won't be defeated by clinging to our religious tradition. There are some things in the church that need to change, and I'm not talking about in a New Age way. I'm talking about discarding some ancient beliefs that are crippling the church. Our religious tradition has crippled the church for centuries, but thank God the church is now turning the right direction. It has been for a number of years. You know, 1994 was when the global awakening, the Toronto Awakening, took place in the early 90s. And that particular move has always been on equipping the saints to move in the supernatural. And that's been, what, 20-some years, 22 years, 23 years, that's been out there going training and equipping people to move in the supernatural. And I just want to cut through a whole lot, so in case you're getting, you know, going to sleep because I'm reading my notes. You know, God wants all of us, every believer, to move in the supernatural. You know, we've had this idea that it was just the great ones, just the preachers and teachers, just the ones who were really up there. That doctrine goes back to early Catholicism, that only certain ones could move in the gifts of the Spirit. Only certain ones could lay hands on the sick to recover. But Jesus said at the Great Commission, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel. He that believes shall be saved. He that believes not, well, he's not going to do too good. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. If they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." And who's supposed to do that? Every believer. every believer. See, we're coming out of a crippling religious tradition that kept ministry of healing just to the evangelist or just to the preacher or the pastor or whatever. But it was always meant for every believer to move in these gifts and signs and wonders. Of course, I've lost totally where I'm at in my notes. I guess it doesn't matter. But anyway, I just want to speak very quickly about the subject of New Age healing. New Age is already offering the world divine healing through such practices as therapeutic touch and Reiki. Knowing this, I think it would be wise not to get involved with that thing. Some Christians actually are getting involved with it. They're getting results, but if you study these healing practices, you'll find that they are based in the teachings of Buddhism. They believe in a universal energy force.
Use the force, Luke.
Not a personal God.
This one I cannot train.
Anyway, that's for me. That was Yoda.
This one train, I cannot.
That's something like... Anyway. Well, it woke you up anyway. Praise God.
Luke. I'm your father.
Anyway. So they believe in a universal force that fills the universe and fills every person. They believe in karma and reincarnation rather than sin and eternal judgment. See, with the idea of karma, you keep coming back into a new life. If you messed up this time, you pay for it next life, and then you get that out of the way, and then you go into a next life, and you finally reach this place that you join with the eternal, infinite cosmic energy, and you reach the state of nirvana. You never face a holy God for a judgment. That's not involved in it. The karma, you just keep going on. Don't worry. It's okay. Eventually, you'll get there. And they don't cast out devils because devils are behind with their healing power. Like the magicians of Egypt who paralleled the miracles of Moses. It says in Exodus 7:11, then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, and they also, the magicians of Egypt, did the same with their secret arts. They did the same thing that Moses did when he threw his rod on the ground, it turned to us. They did all that by mystic arts, secret arts. 2 Thessalonians 2:9 says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. So the devil has power and signs and lying wonders. Now we thought, well, that's the Pentecostals. All that miracles and stuff they claim to be doing, that's lying signs and wonders. That's the devil. All those lying signs and wonders that the Bible talks about. No. They were praying in the name and authority of Jesus by the power of the Holy Ghost, and they were getting results for that reason. Jesus said at one point, they said, this guy's over here doing this, casting out devils. He's not following us. Should we stop him? He said, no, don't do that. Nobody's going to do a miracle in my name and then speak lightly of me. So we're not talking about people who are doing miracles in Jesus' name. We're talking about people outside the kingdom that are doing miracles. That's the lying signs and wonders the Bible talks about. And healing and miracles are one of the ways the devil deceives in the last days. It's the New Age people healing by the power of demons who are performing lying signs and wonders, not Christians. And the only way to fight that is with spiritual weapons. Again, the church must become the church that demonstrates power. And I'm happy to say I believe that's happening. I believe that's happening. And I read the scripture already about Mark 16, about these signs shall follow believers. The church will overturn New Age thought. The church will snatch people from the jaws of hell. The church will change the way society thinks. We got to recognize how it's thinking first. So in closing, let's recognize the real enemy. Who is he? Who he is and what he's about. Who's the real enemy? What's he about? It is the spiritual force of New Age thought that has captured the hearts and minds of society. And it's a spiritual force. You can't pin it down and say this is it and that is it, because it has a spiritual basis in the powers of darkness. You know, 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, "In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." New Age is against Christianity. Christianity stands in its way. The only true utopian world that's coming is the one that Christ shall set up when he comes. Amen. When heaven comes to earth, there will be paradise. When heaven touches earth today, what we're actually doing is getting a preview of coming attractions. Whenever heaven touches earth in our meetings, we're getting a preview of what's coming down the road. It's something that's coming. It hasn't yet come, but the kingdom of God is here, but it's still yet to come. And the church is already rising in the process of, they're already in the process of rising to the battle. And we talked about the Toronto blessing. It's been going on for 20-some years now. And so God's already preparing. It's called Equipping the Saints. That's actually, the movement is called Equipping the Saints. If you look back at the different movements of God over the last, you know, several generations, it's called the Equipping the Saints movement. And that's what's going on right now. The saints are being equipped to move out in power. Like this, that's why I gave that testimony about what happened Tuesday. I was so excited because God just showed me supernaturally something that was going on, and this person got healed. I'm thinking, praise God. And then see, it's not just in the church. We need to be taking that out on the street. We need to be out on the street doing it. I heard somebody say this, one of the instructors who's teaching these classes I've been going to. He said, when I found out that we're able to move in power, when we're able to lay hands on the sick and do things miraculous, suddenly evangelism became very fun. Suddenly it was very exciting. And I think, yeah, that's right. It does add excitement. What if the church were excited about evangelism? Man, I can't wait to get out there, man. See God move. You know, that's one thing about, you know, praying the way that the Lord has really kind of directed me in the last little while to pray. You know, when we pray for somebody, to ask the Holy Spirit to come. I never did that before. This is something I learned to do recently. But I found out as we do that, that he comes. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just suddenly there's the presence of the Lord. And it just makes prayer so much better. I mean, it's like, wow, the presence of God, man. Wow, this is wonderful. I'm so happy to be into that. But anyway, the power of God is more powerful than the power of New Age mystics. But that doesn't even matter if we don't learn to walk in that power. So, amen. So, let's get our hearts and minds geared up and focused on learning to operate in healing, miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost. Anybody want to do that? Anybody? Raise your hand up. Amen. Does anybody want to learn to do that? Well, God wants us to. God wants us to learn how to do it.